Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Factor. If you want to eat better this year and are looking for fast, healthy, restaurant-quality meals that are ready to eat and easy on your budget, Factor is the perfect solution. Sign and save right now by going to factormeals.com/talktv50 and use code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your order. That's code TALKTV50 at factormeals.com/talktv50 to get 50% off.
Hi, this is George Slaughter for TV Confidential. Watch it. Never watch it. Listen to it.
Ed Robertson, along with Josh Mills and Pat Thomas. Josh and Pat are two of the co-authors, along with Ben Modell, of Ernie in Kovacs Land, writings, drawings, and photographs from television's original genius. The first Ernie Kovacs book to be published in 30 years, and a unique glimpse into the mind of the pioneering comedian. Ernie in Kovacs Land is available from Fantagraphics Books, fantagraphics.com, as well as Amazon.com. One of the men's magazine covers that you just spoke of, Pat, I forget the name of the publication, but it on the front cover, when you don't pay attention to the buxom blonde whose portrait is on the cover, it mentions Ernie Kovacs is in the is one of the contributors, and I think Jack Lemmon was also one of the contributors. Jack Lemmon was a friend and frequent collaborator of Ernie.
Yeah, they were in about four or five. Definitely four movies together. And I was lucky enough that... So Ernie died in 62. I was born in 68. But Jack and my mom were friends throughout the rest of their lives. So I think Jack died in 2000. But I spent every Christmas with the Lemons. I did a crazy trip to Italy with the Lemons in about 1984, 85.
Nice.
Everything that everybody says about Jack Lemmon being the nicest guy was absolutely true.
Do you know Steve Stolier?
Yes, I do.
Steve has a wonderful quote from, I mean, one of, another.
I saw that online.
Another Another friend of Jack was Groucho Marx.
Oh, yes.
And a frequent visitor of Groucho's. And Steve worked closely with Groucho the last decade of his life. One of the many anecdotes in Steve's book, Raised Eyebrows, is, I don't know whether this is the first time or one of the times he had a chance to talk to Jack Lemmon, and Jack was gracious, and I forget what they were talking about, but Steve said, "You really are a nice person." and he wasn't a surprise. He was generally surprised that he said, "You really are a nice person," and Jack Lemmon said, "There's no reason not to be."
Yeah,
and
that's
one of those takeaways,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
they gives you a sense of the essence of the person. And yeah.
Well, Ernie, I mean, the thing that was really nice was that when they were in movies together, Jack's wife, second wife, was Felicia Farr, mm-hmm. the actress, and so my mom was great friends with Felicia. Jack is great friends with Ernie. They're playing poker. Felicia and my mom are going shopping. You know, everybody was a very close
nice.
Thing. In fact, supposedly the way my mom got the role in The Apartment was that Ernie, my mom, Jack, Felicia, and Billy Wilder and Audrey Wilder went to dinner and they were just talking. And Billy turns to my mom and says, "I'm making this movie. I have a role for you." And she says, great, thanks. And they're eating dinner and it's no big deal. And he says, okay, so tomorrow I'll send a car and you'll come down and whatever. And my mom said, great. And then she went about her business. And the next day a car shows up and she said, I guess I really did get the part. She's like, I didn't have to audition. I didn't have to do anything. And that's how she got into the apartment. But
cool.
I mean, that's a kind of special life, I think.
And every now and then a part like that will come to you like that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to hustle. You mentioned Felicia Farr. My favorite David Janssen series is Harry O.
Oh, yeah.
And
my mom was on Harry O.
She was. It was a character part, but it's like her scenes with David Janssen are the things I remember about that episode. Mm-hmm. But Felicia Farr played David Janssen's wife in one of the Harry O.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
There's our sixth degree of
nice.
There's our sixth degree of separation.
The
weirdest thing is trying to find all the episodes that my mom was on for television in the 70s and buying them up on DVD. So I'm always trying to find McMillan and Wife. I'm always trying to find Policewoman. So if there's a box set or a season 5, I'm like, okay, my mom's
there
on that.
There is a Policewoman box with every episode.
Yeah.
And I think there might be a McMillan and Wife box. In fact,
I'm in.
You need
I'm
to talk to Kristen because she has a large collection.
Okay.
Too.
All right.
I forget what it's called. I think it's now called the IMDb channel, but it's available on the Amazon Fire Stick, among others. And as of last year, the year before, they had all the McMillans on streaming. So if you happen to have the Fire Stick, or if you know how to get that channel, you could watch the one episode with your mom.
I did see the one episode of it was a streaming on Amazon of my mom doing celebrity bowling, which was a fascinating look into my mom's athletic career. Not particularly good. But I did get to see Jack Carter and Adrian Barbeau bowl together. So, you know,
that calls for a 4K restoration.
I think
that's
so.
Right.
Yes. Closed captioned. We want it all.
Exactly.
Was this around the time she was doing Here's Edie, or was this after that?
Oh, this is 70s. This is definitely 70s. Okay. There was my mom, the apartment, and she's in some interesting films, Mad World. But there were a couple that were not so great. And the 70s were a lot of TV. Fantasy Island, Love Boat. I was on the set of Love Boat. Very interesting stuff. Bosom Buddy. She's in the pilot episode. It's fun to buy these things and find these things.
Well, and it goes back to she worked as hard as she did and she worked as often as she did, not just her variety show in the 60s, but her nightclub act.
Oh,
She worked as hard as she did because she had to, because Ernie left her a big tax bill that she had to pay off.
Yeah. The story is that Ernie passes away unexpectedly in a car accident, and very soon afterward, the IRS is talking to her because... she finds out that she has about $350,000 in debt to the IRS, and this is in 1962. And then she finds out from ABC that because Ernie was the producer and he didn't realize that he was responsible for the above the line costs, that she owed them to $150,000. So my mom, I remember this vividly, into the 70s, my mom worked her butt off. She was constantly working from like 62 to like the mid 70s just to pay off $500,000 in debt. She refused any kind of help. She didn't want a charity. She didn't want, someone talked about the idea of maybe doing a telethon for Edie. And my mom was like, no, I'm not doing this stuff. So she was salt of the earth, but she did have to do a lot of things that she didn't really want to do because it paid well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that is the pragmatist. And again, in many ways, Ernie and Kovacs Land is an homage to Edie the archivist, Edie the television preservationist, Edie the visionary who saw what few people did other than Ernie.
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah.
Oh, she saw it. She saw it firsthand, top to bottom. She really was she was special in that way. I don't think a lot of people would, you know, she never declared bankruptcy. She didn't do anything like that. She just paid it off.
Yeah.
The name of the book, Ernie and Kovacs Land, Writings, Drawings, and Photographs from Television's Original Genius, edited by Josh Mills, Ben Modell, and Pat Thomas. Josh and Pat are here with me in the studio today. Ernie and Kovacs Land, available Fantagraphics books, fantagraphics.com, as well as amazon.com. You mentioned a couple times a possible audio release in the works. Are you able to extrapolate on that without fear of death?
Sure. And we can also talk about maybe a ED book part two. We don't know yet. But essentially, we found in the archive audio air checks, which are essentially, they look like records. They're bigger than records, but they are lacquers. And they were recorded either from radio or television off the air. So we found about 100+ hours. Some of it's my mom, some of it's Ernie, some of it's radio, some of it's television. And we're working with a company right now trying to figure out the best way to get some of this stuff out there, because whether it's comedy or whether it's interviews, like we talked about with the Mad Magazine founders, there's unreleased Ernie material even in 2024.
And the fact that Ernie's, you know, legacy, Ernie's work continues to attract new generations, I mean, new fans every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, whether it's serious comedy radio, or whether it's DVDs, or, you know, some other form, books, I'm always looking to get make sure that Ernie is kind of, you know, people forget that he was the host of The Tonight Show. I mean, even NBC completely wrote him out of that whole promotion they did when Conan took over for Jay Leno. And it was a little like, no, he had his own show. And part of the great thing is that we have paperwork to back it up.
Yeah.
We have the budgets. We have, you know, Ernie had a totally different set than Steve Allen. Ernie had a totally different cast than Steve Allen. And so that's the kind of stuff where you kind of want to right the wrongs, but also make sure that people don't forget that, like, you know, he's part of this, you know.
Legacy.
Yeah.
And you'll correct me if I'm wrong. His morning show that he did for either Philadelphia or the NBC affiliate in New York that predated The Today Show.
Yeah.
In a way, he was sort of the original Today Show before The Today Show came to be.
That was Philadelphia. The story is that he did a morning show. It was the first time a network, this is probably 1950, 51, they went and said, try this thing. It did really well. And they knew it did well because there were no ratings then. You didn't have Arbitron or whoever owns it now. I don't even know who owns it. But they said, write in and tell us, you know, how many jelly beans are in this jar. And they were inundated with ridiculous amounts of mail. And NBC corporate in New York said, wow, people are watching television in the morning? I mean, no one thought that would happen. That was not even a thing. So they canceled Ernie in Philadelphia and started the Today Show. So Ernie was so successful, he got canceled.
Wow, that's funny.
Yes.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Couple of things that pop into mind while we're talking about radio. And I forget who says this in Ernie and Kovacs Land, but whereas many of the early shows, particularly early variety shows, were shows that were filmed for the stage and then just captured on television, Ernie was one of the first people to understand, maybe the only person to understand at the time, the power of close-ups and the power of what you can do with the camera. Ernie did television shows that were made for the medium. And that intimacy, that one-on-one intimacy that you get when you watch Ernie's work, any of Ernie's work, that's sort of a direct corollary to his experience with radio, which is also one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's playing to the camera, and he's doing things that nobody had done yet, like an overhead shot or a thing where the TV looks like it's now at a 45-degree angle,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, this is all obviously pre-computer and pre-automation. So they had to really think about, how are we going to do this? Are we going to, you know, take the camera and turn it at a 45-degree angle? Yeah, okay, that sort of works. Or some of his weird underwater stunts. So he's kind of breaking new ground for the crew and the set design and all of that. And often sometimes breaking out of character and just turning and looking right in the camera and saying something. All that had not really happened before he started doing it.
Yeah. His idea was, you know, you're watching television. I know you're watching me on television. Why do we have to pretend that we're just have this fake artifice that doesn't exist?
Right.
And he, I think that's why people loved Ernie, was that my mom was telling me that he essentially was the kind of guy that said, look, they're, whoever's watching us is in their living room. They're probably in their underwear. They're probably scratching somewhere that you don't want to know about. But that's how they're seeing you. You're invited. You're a guest in their living room. So let's have a conversation. Let's be one-on-one. And I think people loved Ernie because they felt a direct connection to him. They felt like he was talking to them. And again, he was talking to people that were kind of oddballs or people that thought things differently or weren't static, you know, good American patriotic, you know, folks. I mean, not that Ernie wasn't patriotic. I don't mean that.
No. I know what you mean.
But they weren't, post-war America. You couldn't be weird.
Right.
But you were a weirdo. You were, and that's what his reaction was like, no, I speak to the Lorax. No, I speak to the, to my people.
Yeah. The name of the book, Ernie and Kovacs Land, Writings, Drawings, and Photographs from Television's Original Genius, edited by Josh Mills, Ben Modell, and Pat Thomas. Josh and Pat are here with me in the studio today. Josh Mills, of course, is the son of Edie Adams and the curator for the estate of Edie Adams and the estate of Ernie Kovacs. Pat Thomas's books on pop culture and the counterculture include Invitation to Openness, The Jazz and Soul Photography of Les McCann, Material Wealth, Mining the Personal Archive of Allen Ginsberg, and Did It, Jerry Rubin, An American Revolutionary. Ernie and Kovacs Land, available Fantagraphics Books, Fantagraphics.com, as well as Amazon.com. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back. One more item if you want to eat better this year. Our friends at Factor are the perfect solution. They have more than 35 fresh, pre-prepared, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved meals, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto Meals, that are restaurant quality, ready to heat, and ready to eat with no prepping, no cooking, and no cleanup necessary. Check it out yourself by going to factormeals.com/talktv50. factormeals.com/talktv50. Astrid and I recently checked out some of Factor's keto selections, including their roasted tomato and feta cavatappi with broccoli and red peppers, and the garlic and herb-roasted mushrooms, while their three-bean chili with quinoa is just the right size for lunch. We also enjoyed their chocolate banana smoothies, which is just one of the more than 60 healthy and nutritious add-on options Factor provides that will help you fuel up and feel good all day, while best of all, Factor meals are less expensive than takeout. Sign up and save right now by going to factormeals.com/talktv50. Use promo code TALKTV50 to get 50% off your order. That's code TALKTV50 at factormeals.com/TALKTV50 to get 50% off.
Hi, this is Jim McCrell, and you're listening to TV Confidential, and you might learn something.
I never put these two people together in the same sentence, but I'm going back to what we're talking. There's sort of anarchy that, in many ways, Ernie embodied, even though he may not have ever actually used that word to describe his word himself. And it goes back to, there may not have been ratings at the time of some of his early work, but obviously if he's doing, okay, you know, how many jelly beans, send it to WKNX, you know, care of this. When Soupy Sales, another New York contemporary of Ernie's, when Soupy Sales had one of his shows in the 60s, he did this very famous stunt about, all right, boys and girls, there are little green pieces of paper in your mom's purse or your dad's wallet. Why don't you pull those pieces of paper out and send them to the station?
My God. Wow. I love it.
He was kicked off the air for that.
I know he was.
Yeah.
But somehow.
I love it, though.
I never thought of a connection between Ernie Kovacs and Soupy Sales. And somehow, I like to think that that's something Ernie probably would have thought of himself if he wouldn't have run.
Well, to bring it full circle, Soupy was on my mom's show, the Edie Adams show, and she did, Pat would find this very funny, she did a parody of the Beatles called The Roaches.
I remember that, yeah.
And they spoke with Liverpool accents, and they had the haircuts and all that, and Soupy and my mom, and I think one other, I can't remember who the third one was, but I have to tell you, as a kid, I had Soupy Sales records. I loved Soupy Sales. I thought he was the greatest. So there is a connection. Edie Adams is the conduit to Ernie and Soupy.
Nice.
Yes.
Very funny.
Yes.
Very funny.
Anything else about Ernie and Kobach's Land that I haven't asked you that you want people to know about?
You have been incredibly exhaustive. This is this is really like incredible. If Josh had told me ahead of time, I would have packed a lunch and a pillow. I mean, the listeners, certain kind of listeners will love this. I mean, you really have
left your stuff.
You know your stuff. But I think we've covered it pretty well here, guys.
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say is Edie wrote a second book, but it was more in bits and pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Memories of this, memories of that. And so we took all this and we gave it to our friend John Clages. And John very carefully went through it and cleaned it up. He put in some footnotes because she's using just the first name of somebody, you know, went to Mitch's house and they're like, well, who's Mitch? And so the book is not, unlike her first book, it's not a linear narrative. It's basically, it could be a paragraph, it could be three pages. So it'll have like, you know, who knows, like 60 mini chapters, if you will. So we're going to add some photographs and some memorabilia to it. Not obviously as much as Ernie, but mm-hmm. we're going to do that. And I won't spoil the surprise, but I've got a very cool cover concept. Anyway, we'll be putting that out through Fantagraphics from where we're sitting, I would say towards the end of the year or early next year.
Excellent. Excellent.
So that's something we're working on.
Well, we will have you back again. If not, when that book comes out, we'll figure out a way to have you back before then. Because but from what you tell me, Pat and Josh, whereas Sing a Pretty Song is sort of a symphonic, traditional symphonic classical piece, it sounds like the second book of Edie would be more like a jazz kind of thing, because it'll be a little riffs.
Yeah, and I usually hate this phrase, but it's a lot of little sound bites.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, that book is a book probably where you could probably pick it up and just open it up,
mm-hmm.
because these are like, let me tell you about the time I did this, and let me tell you about the time I did that. And, you know, Josh has sort of skimmed through, and I think you said you learned a lot of things that you didn't know.
Yeah, and it's also the not only that, but there are things that I completely forgot.
Right.
Things she would say, phrases she would say. Like my mom, this is a weird thing. Whenever we'd go somewhere, like on a trip, she'd go, "Wagons roll," and then we would
take off.
We would take off, and I was like, "There's things like that where I was like, I totally forgot about that weird phrase she used to say," there's fun stuff like that where I was like. And that's how I was like, that's my mom's voice. Like, that really is her at her essence. It's not edited. I mean, John did edit it, but it's like, that is who she was.
Yeah.
Well, I am very much looking forward to this. I know our listeners are looking forward to this. In the meantime, Ernie and Kobach's Land, available Fantagraphics.com, Amazon.com. Josh Mills, Pat Thomas, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Today.
Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Ed.
Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or at TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.